In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Imagine getting up one Sunday to go to Mass, and you come to church, and there's no priest to offer Mass. And it's not just because Father slept through his alarm, because you know I have done that several times. So you go to the next parish over, and there's no priest there, and you keep driving and driving, and not one church as far as you can drive has Mass. And it's been like that for a month. No baptisms, no funerals, no confessions. And it's not because you're in the wilds of Outer Mongolia, right? You're in Mexico, one of the most solidly Catholic countries in the world. In 1917, almost 100 years ago, a whole series of events started which ended up in that place. Socialists took over the government of Mexico, and from one day to the next, every church, hospital, school, and convent was seized by the government. Priests were forbidden to wear clerics in public and could not speak publicly about any of the issues of the day. Now, fast forward to 1926, and the new president of the Mexican Republic, Plutarco Calles, made practicing our Catholic faith a crime, and this in Mexico. Now, of course, I think it is appropriate that on this Feast of Christ the King, in which we're talking about what happened in Mexico 100 years ago, that we have Byrd's Mass for Four Voices. Because remember that William Byrd wrote these Masses when Queen Elizabeth, as the sovereign of England, outlawed the Mass and made it a crime to go to Mass. And so Catholics had to go underground. But of course, even when we're underground, as Catholics, we know how to party and we know how to pray. So what did they do? We're going to have glorious polyphonic Masses. We may be in a cave and a hole under the ground, but we're still going to worship Jesus in style. That's how we Catholics do it, right? But back to Mexico. For 9 years, from 1917 to 1926, the church had been openly persecuted. But the faithful were kind of vaguely annoyed by this, but not enough to do much about it. So the bishops finally decided, okay, we've got to go nuclear here in our response. And so they forbade the sacraments to be celebrated. And the bishops went into hiding. On July 31st, 1926, Mass was not celebrated for the first day in 400 years in Nueva España, one of the most Catholic countries of the world. So priests had two options: cooperate with a government that made it very clear that they were bent on destroying them, or go into hiding. The ones who stayed were forced to take secular employment and to marry. The governor of Tabasco, Tomás Canaval, renamed the capital city of his state Villa Hermosa, beautiful villa, instead of San Juan Bautista, St. John the Baptist. His business card that he would give to people read, "The Personal Enemy of God." Okay, how's that for, you know, meeting somebody at a cocktail party? "Hi, I'm the personal enemy of God." It takes a lot of something to be able to do that, right? He named his children Lenin, Lucifer, and Satan, and he and those who were in political authority unleashed the dogs of hell on the church. Now, of course, when you first read this, you're thinking, this has got to be some crazy conspiracy theory invented by a crackpot. Unfortunately, this is actually the history of events. Priests began to roam around the country at night in disguise, trying to celebrate the sacraments in safe places. When they were caught, they were fined, jailed, and many were tortured and executed for hearing confessions, for anointing the sick. In January 1927, the Catholic people of Mexico finally woke up after years of indifference and laziness to the reality that the government that they put into place was going to stop at nothing to destroy their faith. All throughout Mexico, little groups of counter-revolutionaries called Cristeros rose up to challenge the evil that had taken over their country. They were promised change, they were promised progress, and what they got were priests hanging from rafters. So men took up arms to defend their families, their faith, and their priests. Women organized a secret spy network named after Saint Joan of Arc. And for 30 months, the Cristeros did all that they could to take back their country against the Federales, mercenary soldiers who were epically undisciplined and drunk most of the time, so they couldn't actually get it together to have a decent fighting force. And of course, none of these men and women ever wanted to be in this place, certainly not to be in the position of having to defend their families and their faith in this way. But circumstances were such that they felt that they had no choice. Enter into this whole scene José Sánchez del Río. Raised by a pious mother and father, his brothers went off to war when he was only 13. So he packed his bags to join them. Now you can imagine what his mama said. He said, "You get back here right now, don't even think about it." And so José Sánchez del Río looked at his mother and calmly responded, "And you will deny me the chance to go to heaven so soon?" This incredible boy knew that he was going to be called to give his life for his faith. He was absolutely no wild, crazy zealot who had lost his mind. He had an inner inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he knew that he was called to give the ultimate price for his country and his church. When he presented himself to the general, the old soldier laughed at him and said, "Seriously? Really?" And Jose responded, "I ride well, I can tend horses, clean weapons and spurs, and I know how to fry beans and tortillas." Well, with that kind of intro, what was the general supposed to say, right? The other men nicknamed him Tarcisio, after the Roman altar boy, not that I'm glaring at you guys, right? The Roman altar boy who gave his life to protect Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament from a pagan mob, right? On February the 6th, 1926, that general, Ruben Morfin, had his horse shot out from under him. And Jose ran up to him and said, "General, take my horse, get out of here, you've got to go because you are more important to this mission than I am." Wow. The general rode off into battle and Jose started to shoot at the Federales who were quickly approaching until he had absolutely no ammo left. And as soon as they discovered that they had been routed by a child, they just lost their reason entirely. And they locked him up in the sacristy of a church, where he was able to write his mother a goodbye letter to tell her that he had no fear and welcomed the will of God to offer his life as a sacrifice for his country and his church. The captain of the guard offered the boy his life in exchange for information and said, "Okay, if you deny Jesus Christ, I'll free you." This incredible teenager, only 13 years of age, had more courage, wisdom, and resolve than anybody else around him. And with the grit of the ancient martyrs and infused into him an extraordinary gift of the Holy Spirit, he refused. They took him out into the middle of the night to a cemetery and started screaming at him as loud as they could, "Say death to Christ the King and you will live." Instead, he shouted, "Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King!" They were to be his last words on this earth as he was shot down for expressing this powerful creed that Christ and not the powers of this world is the true sovereign of this earth. Our Lord, who we just heard in the gospel, who said, "My kingdom is not of this world, because it is a kingdom of peace and truth and righteousness, a kingdom of true justice, of pardon and forgiveness." and that where governments set themselves up in contradiction to those virtues that come to us from God, it must be resisted. And so with his own blood, he traced the sign of the cross in the dirt and kissed it as a final sign of reverence. Not long after, Father Miguel Pro met a similar fate. The Federales, in an attempt to intimidate Catholics into submission, photographed the grisly execution and published the photo in the newspapers, right? The idea being, well, you know, you guys need to get your act together, so see what we're going to do to you. We're going to intimidate you with all of this. Well, fortunately, the media stunt had the opposite effect, and people all over the world were like, what is wrong with you people? What on earth has happened? And so finally, a corrupt government was brought to heel. On June 27, 1929, church bells rang out all over Mexico to announce the end of a war that had taken the lives of 57,000 federales and 30,000 cristeros. A war that happened and that took so many lives because that message of that true kingdom, which is not something of this world, but a kingdom of the heart converted to love and forgiveness and pardon and peace, that kingdom someone tried to overthrow with lies, with something that held out a reality, a utopia that could never exist. Catholics were allowed to have their sacraments and religious education in churches, but were not allowed any public expression of their faith by law until 1992. And this is in a country that was 95% Catholic. José Sánchez del Río was canonized, recognized as a saint for the entire church by Pope Francis on October 16th of this year. So why is the history of a Mexican Civil War 100 years ago and the martyrs it produced so important today? Why is it that today we listen to the setting of a mass, that the very composition of the mass itself could not have existed had it not been for a similar situation 500 years ago? The Feast of Christ the King is a reminder that when governments or civil society begin to think that they and not God are the source of human rights and law, when governments and civil society deny the law of God, things begin to happen that sometimes even the most well-meaning of people don't necessarily even can imagine would begin to happen. And when Catholics are complacent, when they do not exercise the grace of their confirmation to stand up against any form of injustice and evil, of prejudice and discrimination, when Catholics are lazy or indifferent in their faith, terrible things can happen. Edmund Burke, the 18th century British statesman, was right when he said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Catholics in early 20th century Mexico failed to exercise their civic duty to ensure a society of true justice and peace. They couldn't be bothered to stand up to the very powers that were oppressing them until the situation had spiraled so far out of control that it took the blood of their own priests and children to wake them up. This happened in Mexico with 95% of the country as Catholics. You, as my congregation, have known me long enough to know that I am not a prophet of gloom and doom. Okay? I am not one of those people who's always saying everything is going, you know, we're in a handbasket and everything is crazy and all of that. I'm not that kind of guy. You know that. But these things happen sometimes where we least expect them. And if we are to preserve true freedom and true liberty, not only for our personal rights that come from God, but for the flourishing of our Holy Mother, the Church, then we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful to that kingdom which is within us, that kingdom of sanctifying grace, because when we are, that is the thing which produces the strength and courage, which is supernatural, the strength and courage of a young man like Jose Sanchez de Rio. It is time for all of us to have the courage of the brave young saint to proclaim, Viva Cristo Rey.